Okay, this sugya is not a difficult sugya mitzad the svaris at all, even mitzad the cheshbon. It's just there's a lot of cases, so I would recommend you have some sort of chart in front of you. It's not absolutely necessary, but it would probably help. It would probably help. So let's go back to the Mishnah. Go back to the opening Mishnah in the Perek. And it's on the second line of the Mishnah. Have a look at the opening Mishnah. We must always differentiate, as the Mishnah does, between Be'emtza HaProkim and Bein HaProkim. Bein HaProkim, as the Mishnah explained to us, is basically in between the parashiyos. Not whilst you're in the middle of reading them, but rather whilst you've finished one and you're about to begin the next, so you are in between the parashiyos. Or so too, just before Kriya Shema or just after Kriya Shema. That's called Beprokim. Beprokim means you're at the junctions, as opposed to Beemtza means you're not at the junction, you're right there smack in the middle of Shema. So those are always the two different scenarios that we have to differentiate between. So the Mishnah says as follows. Shoyel mipnei hakovoid umeshiv. Beprokim. This is talking about Beprokim again. Beprokim, the Mishnah says. Beprokim means Bein HaProkim, as Rashi immediately points out over there, Bein HaHafsokos, in between the gaps. So then, if you are Bein HaProkim, then Shoyel Mipnei HaKovoid. So remember we mentioned right at the end of yesterday's shir, there are different permutations over here. We have to talk about Shoyel, and we have to talk about Meshiv, initiating a conversation or a greeting and responding to one, as opposed to Kovoid, and Yira, that's another variable over here. Kovod means that it's something that you respect, but you don't necessarily fear. Yira is a higher darga, it's somebody that you fear. There is a lower darga, as we'll see in the Mishnah, l'kol adam, to everybody. Could be somebody that you neither fear nor respect, or just whatever, a friend of yours or whoever it may be. So those are all the variables that we could possibly be talking about. Bein HaProkim and Be'emtza HaProkim, Kovoid V'Yiro, and Shoyel U'Meshiv. So the first halacha that we've learned, if you are Bein HaProkim, not Be'emtza, Bein HaProkim, then you can be Shoyel Mipnei HaKovoid. You are allowed to initiate a conversation. When we say a conversation, we don't mean a whole long schmooze, we mean saying hello. Mipnei HaKovoid. What does that mean, mipnei hakovoid? Even if it is not out of fear, rather just out of kovoid, a dignified person, you may say hello to him as long as you are bein haprokim. Then the Mishnah says, umeshiv. Now, what does that mean, umeshiv? It's not entirely clear. What does that mean, umeshiv? You're allowed to respond? Are we talking about to the same type of person? Then it's the most obvious thing in the world. If you're allowed to initiate a greeting, then l'chayra, certainly you're allowed to respond to one. So why would the Mishnah even need to bother pointing this out for me? So we'll keep that as a question mark, and we'll see in the Gemara. So that's all talking about if it is Bein HaProkim. Look immediately there in Rashi on the Mishnah. On the third line, Beprokim Bein HaHafsokos. We're not talking about in the middle of, rather in the gaps. Well, come on, Mefarish Du B'Masnisa, we'll see exactly what that is. Okay, go to the next Rashi. Shoyel Mipnei HaKovoid. Shoyel B'Sholoim. You are allowed to inquire about the peace, the welfare of Odom Nechbod, a dignified person, Shero'u Lahaktim Loi Sholoim, to whom it is appropriate to be makdim shalom. What does makdim mean? To preempt. There are some people where you're not mechuyev to say hello to them. If they say hello to you, then you're courteous and you respond. But it's not considered a bizoyin if you don't go and say hello to them. I mean, when you come to shul, you don't go around saying hello to every single person there. But if you see an odom mechubad, then it's ro'u lahaktim lo shalom. It's appropriate. Nonetheless, you're only allowed to do this if it is Bein HaProkim.
Is there any differentiation between speaking versus smiling or waving?
Yes. At the moment, we're only talking about Dibur. Me'ikar Adin, we'll see, there is a Sefer Shulchan Aruch, I think it could be that we mentioned it in the Gemara, with regard to gesturing or smiling. Certainly, Lechatchila, we don't engage in any of that in davening at all. If I'm not mistaken, we saw that when we learned the Gemara. Do you remember when we saw in the Shulchan Aruch that it says that some people, when they say Kriya Shema, they move their head round in all different directions in order to demonstrate the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech in all directions. So if I'm not mistaken, the Mishnah Berurah there asked, how can you do such a thing? You're not supposed to be doing any gesturing in the middle of Kriya Shema. To which the Mishnah Berurah answered, no. Gesturing means just, you know, giving a wave to somebody, which has nothing to do with Shema. Moving your head in directions, which is in order to help your kavana in Shema, then obviously it's mutter. So you see that essentially, yeah, you don't do gesturing either. But I'll call upon him, our discussion is for the moment only talking about Dibur. So this is a very important definition in Rashi. We're talking about an Odom Nichbod, Shero'u lahaktim loy sholem, to whom it is appropriate to maktim sholem. So we're not talking about somebody that you would like to say hello to. We're talking about somebody to whom you're supposed to say hello. That's a very, very important word in that Rashi. Shero'u lahaktim loy sholem. If it was just an issue of you would like to say hello to him, then you can choose a better time to say hello. Why do you have to say hello now? But if you just now spotted the Odom Nechbod, or the Odom Nechbod just, for example, entered the Beis HaMedrash, then it's Ro'u Lo'i L'Haktim Lo'i Shalom. Imagine if you are standing in your shul, and all of you're waiting for davening, in walked your Rav. You wouldn't just ignore him and turn your back on him and carry a conversation. That's not polite. So it's Ro'u L'Haktim Lo'i Shalom. Now, look at Rashi, the next Rashi. Umeshiv, meshiv means you respond. Umeshiv shalom im hikdimu loy. And you are allowed to respond if the other party was makdim to you. So the first case was that you were makdim to them. You preempted, you are the one who initiated the shalom to them. And now we're talking about where in fact they were makdim to you, and you're just responding. So Rashi points out immediately, and this is the question that we discussed before, the Gemara Parich, Kiven Deshoyel, comma, Pshita Demeshiv. As we always point out, whenever Rashi pre-warns us of the Gemara's Kasha, then obviously it means that even on a simple level it can't be understood. And this is a classic example. If you're reading the Mishnah, you're going to be baffled. Why on earth is the Mishnah teaching me this halacha? If indeed you're allowed to be makdim, then obviously you're allowed to be meshiv. So Rashi says, the Gemara asks it, and we'll soon see what the teretz is. Okay, back into the Mishnah. That's all if it's beprokim. But if it is be'emtza mean it is in the middle of Shema, not in the gaps, but in the middle of the parashiyos, then everything is downgraded one level. Shoyel mipnei hayira umeshiv. Then although you're allowed to preempt, you're allowed to initiate a greeting, but not mipnei hakovod, only if it's mipnei hayira, and also respond. What does that mean, mipnei hayira? So there is a discussion. Let's for the moment see Rashi. Rashi says, "Pnei Hayira, Odom Shehu Yorei Miponov, for whom you are afraid in front of them, Sheloi Yahargu, lest they kill you." So, if some Melech comes in, or a very dangerous person, for whom if you don't greet them, there is a chashash pikuach nefesh, then you can say hello to them. Abul Mipnei Hakovoid, Loi, but just for Kovoid, Loi. So far, things are very neat. And although the Mishnah only said this in two lines, But if you think about this carefully, we have just now said 12 cases. And that's why I'd advise you to have a chart. Why have we said 12 cases? Because as we said, we always have to distinguish between Bein HaProkim and Be'emtz HaProkim, Shoyel versus Meshiv, Kovoid, Yira, and Lekol Odom. So there's three types of scenarios, three types of people whom you might want to say hello to. Level number one is Kol Odom, anybody. Level number two is Mipnei HaKovoid. Level number three is Yira. And of all three levels, you've got to times it by two, that takes you to six. Are you initiating the greeting or are you responding? That's six cases. And then you've got to differentiate between Bein HaProkim and Be'emtz HaProkim, so that's now 12 cases. So in two lines, the Mishnah has told you 12 cases. So even though it sounds complicated, but it's actually quite simple. If it's Bein HaProkim, then you can be Shoyel U'Meshiv, Pnei HaKovoid. If it's Be'emtz HaProkim, then Pnei HaYira. So it sounds like, according to this opinion, that Lekol Odom is never ever Mutter. Not Bein HaProkim, not Be'emtz HaProkim, not to be Shoyel, not to be Meshiv, is never ever ever Mutter. Well, that's four cases just wiped out. And of the remaining eight cases, Shoyel or Meshiv, Kovid V'Yira, it's very simple. Bein HaProkim, Pnei HaKovid, Be'emtz HaProkim, Pnei HaYira. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, everything according to Rabbi Yehuda is one notch higher. Be'emtz Shoyel Mipnei HaYira, Umeshiv Mipnei HaKovoid. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree with you on half and disagree with you on half. I agree that if you are Be'emtza, you can only be Shoyel Mipnei HaYira. You cannot be Shoyel Mipnei HaKovid. But with regard to responding, this is Rabbi Yehuda's Chiddush. Umeshiv Mipnei HaKovid. The first opinion, it would seem to be, whoever you're allowed to be Shoyel to, you're allowed to be Meshiv to. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, no. Shoyel, we're a little bit more machmir because you are the one initiating the greeting. But if the other party initiated it and we're just discussing responding to the greeting, then we can be a little bit more lenient and therefore you can be Meshiv even Mipnei HaKovid. Uba Prokim, and if it is Bein HaProkim, Shoyel Mipnei HaKovoid, that's exactly the same as the first opinion, but Umeshiv Shalom Lechol Odom. You're allowed to respond to everybody. So how many cases are there actually a difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? And the answer is two. So again, like I said before, it sounds very complicated, you know, 12 cases, 24 cases. If you have a chart in front of you, you'll see it's not so complicated. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees in 2 points, and essentially it's not really two machlekesim. He has one principle. It manifests itself in two cases. What's Rabbi Yehuda's principle? That you're allowed to be meshiv to 1 degree lower than to whom you're allowed to be shoyel. So if you're allowed to be shoyel mipnei hayira, if you're allowed to be Shoyel Pnei HaKovoid, you can be Meshiv Lekol Odom. Whereas opposed to Rabbi Meir, it seems to be that Shoyel and Meshiv is all exactly the same. So, in summary so far, everybody agrees if you are Bein HaProkim in the middle of the gaps, everybody agrees you can be Shoyel Mipnei HaKovoid. Doesn't need to be Yira. Shoyel Mipnei HaKovoid, level 2. Who can you respond to? That's the Machlekes. According to Rameah, also Mipnei HaKovoid. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you could be shoyel, you could be meshiv lekol adam. And if you are be'emza, in the middle of Shema, then everybody agrees you can only be shoyel b'pnei hayira. Who can you respond to according to Rav Meir? Also b'pnei hayira, according to Rav Yehuda b'pnei hakovid. Okay, with that, now let's turn over the page and see the Gemara. Says the Gemara, the seventh last wide line, the second last word. Uba prakim, shoyel, etc., etc. Now, as we already pointed out, the Mishnah in one detail was a little bit vague. What was the Mishnah vague about? Because Rav Meir says, for example, that if you are bein haprakim, you're allowed to be shoyel mitpnei hakovoid, and then it says umeshiv. But it didn't tell us meshiv to who. It just says meshiv. You can respond, but to who? Didn't say. Says the Gemara, meshiv machmas mai. Respond because of whom? Who are you responding to over here? What is Rav Meir allowing over here? If you are bein haprakim, you're allowed to respond. To who? Who are you responding to? Says the Gemara, Meshiv Machmas Mai. Ilema, if you're going to say that it means Mipnei Hakovoid, which is exactly the same as to what you, whom you're allowed to be Shoyel. So if you're going to tell me if it means Mipnei Hakovoid, so basically what are you telling me? You can be Shoyel Mipnei Hakovoid, and you can be Meshiv Mipnei Hakovoid. And that's what Rashi pointed out. That's very difficult, because what's the Chiddush? Says the Gemara, Hashta, if now, Mishal Shoil, comma, if you're allowed to actually initiate, you're allowed to be a Shoil, Ahaduri, to respond, Miboya, is that required? Are we required, is it required to teach us that you're allowed to respond to the same person? L'chayra, it's a Kal V'chayma. If you're allowed to initiate the greeting of Pnei HaKavoid, then certainly you're allowed to respond to him. So what on earth is the Chiddush? So what are you going to tell me? That you're right, it's not talking about Pnei HaKavoid. Elo, it's talking about Shoyel, Elo, Shoyel, Pnei HaKavoid, Umeshiv, Shalom, Lechol, Adam. Maybe it means you're right. You're allowed to initiate Pnei HaKavoid. But to respond, you can respond to anybody. And everybody, I think, here can already see the question that's going to come up. What's the obvious question that's going to come up? That's exactly the same as
Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda. So what's Rabbi Meir disagreeing with? Let's see. Says the Gemara, Eimer Sefer. What about in the Sefer? It says, "Ube'emza shoyel mipnei hayira." If you're in the middle, not in the stops. If you are in the middle, then you can be shoyel mipnei hayira. And again, it says, "Umeshiv." Period. Says the Gemara again, same question. Meshiv machmas mai. What does that mean? Respond. Respond to who? Ilema, if it means to the same person to whom you're allowed to initiate. Ilema mepnei hayira. And I have the same question as I asked on the Reisha. Hashta mishal shoil. If you're allowed to actually ask him the question, ahaduri miboya, is it required to be taught that you're allowed to respond to him? You're even allowed to initiate kal v'chomer to respond. Elomai, what are you going to have to say? That it's downgraded again. Elom pnei hakovoid. So if that's the interpretation of the Mishnah, then basically what are you telling me? That according to Rav Meir, you are allowed to initiate, but you're allowed to respond to one degree lower. Which is a very nice reading in the Mishnah. The problem is, it means you've just killed off the whole machlekas between Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda, because that's exactly the same. Says the Gemara, Hainu de Rabbi Yehuda, question mark. How can that possibly be the interpretation of Rameh if that's exactly Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and the Gemara and the Mishnah clearly indicates that there's a machlekas? The Tanan, because the Mishnah then continued and it says, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Ba'emtza, Shoyel, and Pnei Hayiro, Umeshiv, and Pnei Hakovoid, downgrade, Uba'prokim, Shoyel, and Pnei Hakovoid, Umeshiv, Shalom, Lachalada. So how can you possibly tell me that Rav Meir also holds that whoever you can be Shoyel to, but you can be Meshiv to one degree lower? But that's Rabbi Yehuda. So it means we're completely stuck now in understanding Rav Meir's opinion. If Rav Meir means that Shoyel and Meshiv are the same, then what's the Chiddush? And if Shoyel and Meshiv is a downgrade, then that's the same as Rabbi Yehuda. There's no Machlokes anymore. So either way, we're stuck. Says the Gemara, don't worry. Chasuri. There's something missing from the Mishnah. A few extra words will sort out everything. This is the way it should be stated. The prokim shoyel mipnei hakavoid. The ein tzorich loima. Here come the three missing words. And it is not even necessary to tell you, it's obvious, Shehu Meshiv. Ube'emza Shoyel Apnei Ayiro, and again, Ve'ein Tzorech Loima, Shehu Meshiv, Divrei Rabbi Meir. In other words, we're going back to the first interpretation of the Mishnah. There has to be a machloikas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. That's clearly evident in the Mishnah. So what exactly has the Gemara answered? Why is the Gemara now satisfied? What have we added? We've added those three words, Ve'ein Tzorech Loima. Ve'ein Tzorech Loima means that the Mishnah itself is pointing out, but the second halacha is not a chiddush at all. If you have the reading of the Mishnah the way that we have it, it sounds like that the Mishnah is telling you two chiddushim. That the Gemara says doesn't make any sense, because the second halacha is not a chiddush at all. If you're allowed to be shoyel, well then certainly you're allowed to be meshiv. What's the Gemara answering? Don't worry. According to this new text, the Mishnah itself points out that the second halacha is not a chiddush. So again, let's read that again. Chasuri mechzera v'achi ketoni. There is something missing from the Mishnah, and this is what it should say. Baprokim, if it is Baprokim, Shoyel Mepnei HaKovoid, Ve'ein Tzorech Loimar Shehu Meshiv, and indeed it's not even a Chiddush. Obviously, if you're allowed to initiate, you can certainly respond. Ube'emtza, Shoyel Mepnei Ayiro, Ve'ein Tzorech Loimar Shehu Meshiv, Divrei Rabbi Meir. And then you continue reading Rabbi Yehuda, just as the way we have it. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Be'emtza Sholem Pnei Ayiro, Meshiv Pnei HaKavoid, Le'prokim Sholem Pnei HaKavoid, Meshiv Sholem L'chol Odom. Very simple. Look at the bottom Rashi. L'chol Odom Afilu Einoi Nichbad, Chesurei Mechzera. What's missing? The Havelei Le'misni, because it should have stated the Tarvayu in both cases, Ein Tzorech Loima, quote unquote. If you just add those three words, Ein Tzorech Loima, the Su Leka, after that, Leka Lemikshi Midi, there's nothing to ask. So this is a very delicate point. If I tell you two statements, and they both sound like Chidushim, and yet one of them is not really a Chidush, then that's difficult to understand. So if I say to you, listen, I'm prepared to lend you $1,000, okay? And I'm also prepared to lend you $500. That's a very difficult statement. Because it sounds like I'm saying two chidushim, and yet it's not two chidushim. If I'm prepared to lend you $1,000, then kal v'chayma, I'm prepared to lend you $500. So it doesn't make any sense. But if I just add that extra word and I say to you, I'm prepared to lend you $1,000 and obviously $500, then there's no longer a difficulty. Because I myself have pointed out that the second half of my statement is not a chiddush. I'm prepared to lend you $1,000 and obviously $500. And that's exactly what the Gemara is doing over here. If you just add, this was the alternative text, if you add those words, ve'ein tzarech loyma, that it means the Mishnah is itself pointing out to you that there was a girsa that pointed out that the second half of the statement is not a chidush. If you're allowed to be shoyel, obviously you can be mishnah. So it turns out in summary that exactly the way we learned the Mishnah is now confirmed by the Gemara. According to Reb Meir, shoyel and meshiv is always the same. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Shoyel and Meshiv is a downgrade. Simple as that. And the Gemara backs this up. Says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hochi. We have indeed also learned this in a Braisa. That means the suggestion by the Gemara is confirmed by this Braisa. Because what does it say? It says as follows. Hakoire es Shema. Somebody who's recited Kriya Shema Upoga Boi Raboi, and his Rav all of a sudden meets him in the middle of saying Shema. Oi Godel Heimenu, or maybe somebody who is not necessarily his Rav, but somebody a great person. So then, Baprokim, Shoyel Mepnei HaKavoid, and now look at the text of the Braisa, Ve'ein Tzarech Loima Shehu Meshiv. So you see that the Braisa actually states clearly that yes, it's actually not even a chiddush. If you can initiate, then certainly you can respond. Ube'emtza, shoyel mepnei hayira, ve'ein tzarech loima shu umeshiv, tiri Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda oima, emtza shoyel mepnei hayira, umeshiv pnei hakovayid, uprokim shoyel mepnei hakovayid, umeshiv sholem lechol otom. That is the end of the sugya. It's as simple as that. So there was no great chidushim in the Gemara, other than the Gemara just points it out that according to Rameya, Sheol and Meshiv is all on the same level, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is not. If Rameya holds that Sheol or Meshiv is all on the same level, so why does the Mishnah even bother telling me the second statement? The answer is, if you add those three words for Ein Tzarech Loima, then everything is very neat and organize, because it means the Mishnah is itself pointing out to you that the second halacha is not a chiddush. Let's just try and learn a Tosfos before we close today. The bottom Tosfos. Shoyel mepnei hayira, zok Tosfos, Reb Meir v'Reb Yehuda, halacha k'Rebi Yehuda. So Tosfos says clearly that the halacha l'maisa is like the second opinion, like Rabbi Yehuda, which means that there's always a downgrade to be meshiv. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, that afilu be'emtza, meshiv mepnei hakovid. According to Rabbi Meir, you can only be meshiv mepnei hayira if you're in the middle. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, and this is the way we paskin, if you can even be meshiv mepnei hakovid. Imkein, says Tosfos, if you're allowed to be meshiv mipnei hakavoid according to Rabbi Yehuda, and this is what we pasken lahalacha, imkein nira, if so it would appear, shemuta la'anois kaddish v'kedusha ve'emtza kriya shema. Ein lecha, there is no example of mipnei hakavod, quote unquote, gadol mizeh. There couldn't be a greater example of a pnei hakavod. Whose kavod is this? Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that we pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to be meshiv mipnei hakavod. According to Rabbi Meir, if you're in the middle of Shema, not in the gaps, but in the middle, can only be meishiv pnei hayira. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can be meishiv pnei hakavod. So therefore, saying kaddish or kedusha is also in pnei hakavod. In fact, there's no greater example of pnei hakavod. So according to Tosfos, we'll have to see Bezras Hashem next time, tomorrow, Bezras Hashem, in a Shulchan Aruch, if this is what we pass in Lahalacha. According to Tosfos, if you're in the middle of Shema and you hear Kedusha, you can respond. Avol be'emtza yudches, but in the middle of Shema in Esra, also. In the middle of Shema in Esra, you don't respond to anything at all. The mashmala come on, there is an implication later on, in Perek Ein Oimdim, the bain guula le tfila ein lanois, the kol shekein betfila atzma. The Gemara says, even between guula and tfila, means you haven't even begun the Shemayna Esra. You've just said Goal Yisrael, and you're supposed to juxtaposition guula le tfila, you don't respond to Kedusha. Well, if that's the case, certainly you don't respond to Kedusha in the middle of Shemayna Esra. Even though, says Tosfos, I've just pointed out to you that you can respond in the middle of Kriya Shema, but not in the middle of Shemayna Esra. Says Tosfos in conclusion, Umi shemispalel levadai. If you are davening, you're in a shul, but you're not davening together with the minyan. You're standing in your corner doing your thing. The shliach tzibur, and meanwhile, the minyan that happens to be going on there, is magia lemoidim. So we just said before, you don't respond verbally to Kedusha. And obviously not to Amen. But what about Moedim? That's also a type of response. When the Chazan says Moedim, then everybody bows down. Says Tosfos, that you should do. Magia lemoidim, yishche lemoidim, you too should also bow for Moedim. Avaloi yoimar Moedim. You can bow down, but you don't say Moedim. Normally, when the Chazan says Moedim, then we also say Moedim. We bow down and we say Moedim, Moedim Derabama. But here, I can't say it because I'm in the middle of Shemona Esra, but I can't bow down. That's not a hefsek. However, says Tosfos, even bowing down can on occasion be problematic. You're not allowed to add extra hishtachavoyos. Chazal have told us exactly when we bow. First bracha, beginning and end, moedim, and then atayim shimcha, that's all. You don't do more than that. That's why Tosfos says, v'dafke shehoyo be'emza ha-bracha. That's only if you're in the middle of a bracha, then you can bow. Avol b'seifa bracha, if you happen to find yourself at the end of a particular bracha, you've just finished, you're just up to Baruch Atu Hashem, Roifei Chayle Yama Yisrael. Now you're at the end of the bracha, then you should not bow. Loi, comma. Then you should not bow. Why? Denira, because then it would appear, Kekoireya, that you're bowing Bishvil HaBracha. If you bow in the middle of a bracha, then obviously, it's obvious to everybody that why are you bowing? You're just bowing in response to the Moedim of the Chazan. But if you're standing at the end of your own personal bracha and you bow, then it looks like you're bowing because of your own personal brachas.
How does anyone know what you're up to?
Good question.
When you're...
I don't know. They see where you're up to in the siddha yet. Good point. Not quite clear. But either way, we never bow in the middle of a bracha. So if you bow in the middle of the bracha, it's obvious you're just doing it in response to the Chazan. But if you bow at the end of the bracha, then it would appear that you're bowing in association with the bracha you've just said. And why is that problematic? Says Tosfos v'amrinon, and we say, the ein lichroya b'chala brachas. You're not allowed to bow in all of the brachas. Elo b'oisom shetiknu chachomim. Only those brachas that Chazal instituted. You can't start adding your extra bowings, or even, you shouldn't even be seen as if it looks like that. As Tosfos in conclusion, for Rabbeinu Tam or your Rogil, he would always do the following. Shoyo Mamtin, he would wait. For Oisei Fele, What does Ba'isei Fela mean? That's just before Shmoneh Esrei. Right? We say just before Shmoneh Esrei, Michamoicha Oisei Fela, we say that he would wait. Kdeilano is Kaddish Bekedusha Im Hatzibur. Because we just now saw, in other words, Rabbeinu Tam saw that Kaddish and Kedusha was coming up. So Bein Ge'ula Letfila, he would not be able to respond. Kol Shekain in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, he would not be able to respond. But if you're an Oisei Fela, which is slightly before, then you can. So he would wait and wait and wait. Vaya Saiva, and he held that Afilu Shah Kedei Ligmoir Esakol, even if he waited there so long that it would be sufficient time to finish the whole Shmoneh Esrei. Let's say your Shmoneh Esrei takes 5 minutes. If you waited there 5 minutes, doesn't matter. Einoi chayzel reish. You do not have to repeat. Okay, I don't want to get stuck into that halacha. It's a whole complication with regard to waiting. So there are a lot of halachas that we would like to see. Number one, about shoyel and meisha pnei hakoved v'hayira. Secondly, with regard to the din of Shmoneh Esrei. But at least next time, that means tomorrow morning, be'ezras Hashem yisbarach, we will begin by looking at the Shulchan Aruch. The Maromokim can be found by looking on the first page. It's Samach Vav. Shulchan Aruch, Samach Vav. It's the first Tzif. We will start with that, and then Be'ezus Hashem will move on to the next Gemara, and there is a terrifically long Tosis coming up as well, which we may start also in the coming days. Okay, have a great day, everybody.